Turn, if you will, to your Bible in Acts chapter 15. In Acts 15. In Acts chapter 15, I want to read verse 1, but the verse that I want is verse 9. So I'm just going to read verse 1. There were some Judaizers that came in, and it goes like this. In Acts 15, verse 1, "And certain men which came down from Judea taught the brethren and said, except ye be circumcised after the manner of Moses, you cannot be saved." And that included the Gentiles. And he was trying to tell them that circumcision was required. People do that with baptism today. And they say, well, if you aren't baptized, you can't be saved. And many churches believe that. And even if they don't believe it entirely, they believe it to some degree. They're not willing to take a chance without it. I know I watched my sister get pressured from her church to be baptized. And the idea being is that, you know, why wouldn't you get saved, baptized if you... hang on, should I take a picture of this? No tie? You look more natural. That looks good on you. You look comfortable and relaxed. You look like we could go out in the woods and talk about the Lord and have a beer. No, I'm just kidding about the beer.
Well, I'm ready when you are.
Yeah. We're in Acts chapter 15. "Except ye be circumcised after the manner of Moses, ye cannot be saved." And this whole thing brought a division in the Jewish church. And they brought Paul and whatever, and so Peter practiced this whole thing up in his mind, and he comes down in verse 6. Watch this. "And the apostles and the elders came together for to consider this matter. And when there had been much disputing, Peter rose up and said, Men and brethren, you know how that a good while ago God made choice among us that the Gentiles by my mouth should hear the word of the gospel." Now, the thing that you got to understand is that's not the gospel that you heard. That's the gospel of the kingdom, and I would write that in. And very important to understand that this isn't the same gospel that Paul preached and on and on. "And believed. And God which knoweth the hearts bared them witness, given them the Holy Ghost, even as he did unto us, and put no difference between us and them, purifying their hearts by faith. Now therefore, why tempt ye God to put a yoke upon the neck of the disciples, which neither our father nor we were able to bear? But we believe through the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, we shall be saved even as they." Now he's not talking about the same salvation. And a lot of people that want to try to make it all one gospel, run to these passages. These are the passages they'd like to run to. And people that say, well, Jesus and Paul preached the same gospel. Well, you know what I believe about this, but I'm going to lay it out again so that you can understand. I believe there is a foundational gospel that Paul and everybody preached, which was the gospel of God. Got it? That gospel is a foundation. Can I fellowship with someone who believes the gospel of God?
Amen.
I can. I wouldn't necessarily believe he's saved, but if he believes in that Jesus Christ is the Son of God, we're going to have fellowship on that level. And I'm going to show him the difference in the gospel. That gospel then goes up, and I'm going to do kind of a, this is the gospel of the kingdom. And this is the gospel of the uncircumcision. You got it? The circumcision, I'm sorry. You got it? And I'm going to put the cross right there. Got it? And in Acts 15, there is a mix going on because Paul's now gotten saved. I'm going to put this as Acts chapter 9, the saving of the Apostle Paul. And I want you to see that this gospel, or this gospel, was preached before. It has nothing to do with the mystery. See, when you lay things out on a timeline, all of a sudden those obstacles start to not be obstacles anymore at all. Now, are they going to be saved, purify their hearts by faith? Verse 11, but we believe that through the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, we shall be saved even as they. By the grace, through the grace of our... Are they talking about the grace of Paul, God?
No.
No. I mean, guys, listen. People have been finding grace in the eyes of God. Go back to Genesis. I mean, right off the bat. It might be interesting to note in the dispensational consideration of things. May not have thought about this. In the Old Testament, the first 2,000 years covered is in the first 11 chapters of Genesis. That's weird, isn't it? They didn't have a Bible, amen. Now think about that. 11 books covers approximately 2,000 years. Now what's fascinating about that, and the reason I say that, is why the meat of the rest of the stuff? Because it starts to get into doctrinal issues that's going to make a difference along the way. You got it? So when we go to Genesis chapter 6, these are synopsis. Time is flying by. Go to Genesis chapter 6. Grace was not uncommon, even though it wasn't the dispensation of grace. You all understand? And that's what I want you to understand. They're going to have grace too. It's just not the dispensation of grace. Look, if you will, in verse 8. Verse you probably got underlined. And Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. Notice how I gave that little Irish tween there. That was for Christy. She wants to dance like a leprechaun when she hears that song. Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. It wasn't the dispensation of grace. Because the thing that Paul had was kept secret. Look in 1 Corinthians chapter 2. This secret was not made known. Peter didn't preach it, and Peter is carrying on the exact ministry the Lord had called him to do. There has been no change until you get to Paul. When he talks about grace, he doesn't talk about grace as in an action from God, but as in a dispensing of God. And there's a lot of things different. Look, if you will, in 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 6 again. Howbeit we speak wisdom among them that are perfect, yet not the wisdom of this world, nor the princes of this world that come to naught. But we speak the wisdom of God in a... Well, we know that by Romans 16:25, and you should have that written in your Bible. If you don't, you need to write it in. Romans 16:25. Now, I'm going to have to start charging Tony extra for his notes in his new Bibles. Because he writes the first Bible, and then I have to re-note his other Bibles.
Already there. Romans 16:25. Deborah didn't have to do a thing, you can tell, because it's my handwriting and not hers.
Oh, brother, that's good. Have you been washing your wife with the Word?
Probably not. She got on to me 15 years ago before I even knew what washing in the Word was, because I was not washing her in the Word, and I was studying all the time, but not doing it.
And in 15 years, are you now doing it?
No.
How come?
Jay Hampton's doing it all.
It ain't my job.
But you do such a good job on Sunday.
No. You got to go home and do it again. I might leave a little dirt on the ear. You got to go home and really bathe her, brother, in the Word. All right. You can tighten up a notch.
Yeah.
Deborah, I'll get them to fix up by the time you get back to England. I figured I'd preach on men, how sorry rascals they are, and they're not worth the gunpowder to blow them into hell, and how they should love their wife as God, as Christ loved the church.
You don't need to preach on that. Let Deborah get up there. She can get it all in 10 minutes.
I've never seen a man so spoiled in my life as you. I'm going to have to do some marriage counseling here, I can tell. But we speak the wisdom of God, verse 7, in a mystery, even the hidden wisdom which God ordained before the world under our glory, which none of the princes of this world knew, for had they known it, they would not have crucified the Lord of glory. So what Peter was preaching here in the gospel of the circumcision was taught to him in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. Y'all with me? But what Paul got is a mystery. Now, when you get to the thing that gets confusing is you have multiple gospels all the way to the end of the book of Acts. You got it? You've got the circumcision, the gospel of God, the gospel of Christ, which I'll put in here. And then Paul, at the end of that, adds on other things. Well, there is a little confusion here, and people get confused because of some of the passages. Look in 1 Corinthians chapter 1. In 1 Corinthians chapter 1, look if you will, in verse 10. Now watch this, how it reads. Now I beseech you, brethren, by the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, that you all speak the same thing, and that there be no divisions among you, but that you be perfectly joined together in the same mind and in the same judgment. For it hath been declared unto me of you, my brethren, by them which are in the house of Cleo, that there are no contentions among you. Now this I say, that every one of you saith, I am of Paul, I am of Paulus, I am of Cephas, and I of Christ. Is Christ divided? Was Paul crucified for you? Or were you baptized in the name of Paul? There's four groups there. And there's contentions. And the contentions come in the things that they didn't know. Y'all understand? Why would there be contention among that group? You got different gospels there. Yet there is a commonality to all those Gospels. What were the commonalities? The Gospel of God and the DVR. I mean, you know, you've got those two kind of things going on that were common to all. And they were all preaching the death, the burial, and the resurrection. That's the important thing you have to understand. I can have fellowship with anybody that'll believe the death, burial, and resurrection because they'll believe the gospel of Christ if they see it. Y'all understand? I mean, if someone believes the death, burial, and resurrection, we're going to fellowship and I'm going to try to show him the mystery. And what is the mystery? It's the S factor. That's what Paul got on the road to Damascus. That S factor is an extension of the DVR. They didn't really know what happened. I mean, Peter didn't understand what was going on. Peter was of the same vein, and when he says grace, look at how he words this in 1 Peter. Look at his wording here. 1 Peter, this isn't coming out like I wanted. We'll go with it and see what happens. I love this. This is the term, kind of what he was thinking in Acts chapter 15, verse 9. 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 9. Receiving the end of your faith, even the salvation. Why didn't he say receiving the beginning of your faith. Because they had to endure unto the end to be saved. Y'all got that? That's why he said the end of your faith, even the salvation of your souls, of which salvation the prophets have inquired and searched diligently, who prophesies of the, what? Grace that should come unto you. Future tense. He thought the grace was going to come at the second coming when the fount was open. You got it? He believed in God's grace. He just believed God's grace was going to be involved. Brother, we are glad to see you. We're in 1 Peter. You made my night. That guy is a fantastic friend and a great plumber. And I miss him when he's not here. And I really appreciate him.
Amen.
All right. 1 Peter. Y'all there? So when he says, watch this again, of which salvation the prophets have inquired and searched diligently. Well, that couldn't be Paul's gospel. That couldn't be the gospel of grace. Why? Or this was kept secret how long?
Since the world began.
Then it was, you couldn't have gone back in the Old Testament and found it. Y'all understand? There was no way you could go back. And so even though Peter's saying that in Acts 15, and people might drag you to Acts 15 and you go, oh man, preacher, I think I got this rightly dividing thing all wrong. I think they preached the same message. They didn't, because you can go to 1 Peter and hear what Peter believed about that grace. I don't think I'm doing very good. Am I doing that? Are y'all getting this? I mean, this is so important because, you know, you can take one verse of Scripture, and that's why I always, hair stands up on my back. Yes?
The way they explained it, they say there's two entities of one gospel.
That's the way they explain it. See? You know, you got to watch out for that, because if you go to listen, out of the abundance of the heart, this is what would have come out of Peter's mouth. Y'all understand? And the other thing, has anybody seen the movie Inception? The new movie just came out. You need to read it or go to it. It's quite a fascinating movie. No, I'm not kidding. It has to do with your subconscious mind. And the reason I'm telling you this is people put things in our subconscious mind that we don't even know that are going in there. I mean, they're going in all the time. Every thought you have goes into your... I did this thing on the mind from the Bible. And if you think about it, that's your flesh. And your flesh has five openings. Guess what those five openings are? Taste, touch, see, smell, and hear. Those five portals to your... Can you see this? You can't see this. Too bad. Is how things get in. That's how they get in. And you want to move, don't you? I can move the pulpit. Everything goes in that way. Good and bad. Good and bad. Doesn't matter whether it's godly or not. Yet, what's fascinating is that's the only way the Word of God can get in there too. Is by seeing and hearing. Can't get in there a touch unless you're blind. I guess you could build a little bridge. Braille. But I went to see this movie, and the reason I'm telling you this is because of the subconscious mind. People put things in our mind that aren't true, and we believe they're true. And it starts out as young children. We lie to our kids. People ask me why I'm opposed Christmas. Well, there's a lot of reasons I oppose Christmas in the sense of biblical reasons. But why would you start out lying to your children, deceiving them, that there's a Santa Claus that comes around? I mean, think about it for just a minute. I mean, honestly, we deceive those little things. Like, they're hard to deceive. Those kids aren't hard to deceive, but they'll believe anything you tell them. When they find out you lied, they're mad at you. They're mad at you because you deceived them. You played with their subconscious. You got them in that feeling of a spirit and of a mood, of a moment, and you got them out there. And the reason I'm telling you that, they do the same thing with biblical doctrine. Can someone show me a verse of Scripture where you need to walk the aisle for Jesus? Yet churches after churches act like God wanted you to walk the aisle. You all understand? And that gets in our subconscious mind, and that lays back in there, and we start to think. And the same thing with being good. The Bible clearly says there is none good, no, not one. But we believe somewhere that we have some goodness in us. I thought about this a lot. I grew up in a church that believed your goodness was on one side and my bad on the other. Well, how much goodness would I have had? No, here's the answer. None. But they convinced me in my subconscious mind that I had a little bit of good. Yeah, I mean, I thought about this a lot after this movie. I'm thinking, you know, they play on your subconscious mind. You hear something enough, you hear it enough, you hear it enough, you hear it enough, it becomes a fact. And I told a buddy of mine on the phone today, preaching is kind of interesting. What my job is to do, and when you stand up here and preach, Wade, and any of the others, William, any of y'all, when you all stand up to preach, you're not to preach your own intelligentsia like, oh, look at how bright I am. You're to get people to believe their Bible. Believe the Word of God. And I gave an illustration. Dr. Ruckman, I don't know how many here know who Dr. Ruckman is. Dr. Ruckman is probably one of the biggest defenders of the King James Bible. You know what's weird about it? He won't believe the King James Bible. If he did, he wouldn't be a Baptist church anymore. You got it? People are convinced by the multiple of hearing that they've got it, and they hear the word grace, and they hear the word grace, and they in their subconscious mind think something about grace that isn't even true. I've read a passage of Scripture to a guy one Thursday night up in the Kentucky. And I read this Scripture. Go to Luke for a minute. Luke chapter 12. And I didn't think it was complicated. I didn't think it was vague. I didn't think he needed a scholar to figure this out. Verse 33. Luke 12:33. Sell that you have and give alms. Provide yourselves backs which wax not old, or treasure in heaven where that faileth not, where no thief approaches, nor moth corrupts. For where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. Sell that you have. Do you need a modern translation to clarify that? And you know what he said? He said that means sell out in your heart. Where did those words come in? But he'd heard it so many times that he believed it in his mind. Didn't matter what the Word of God said. It didn't matter what God said. You got it? Didn't matter what God said. It didn't matter the fact that I showed them in Acts chapter 2. Look at it. They literally did it. If it says grace, it must be the same grace one place or another. See, that's how they get you. And go to Acts chapter 2, verse 44 and 45. Watch it. I said, but the people that were closest to them sold out. I had one guy that night told me I sold out, and I said, let me see your wallet. Guess what was in there?
Money.
Well, you know what happened to some people that did that, don't you? That Ananias and Sapphira didn't make it. And that was my point. See, listen, my job is to get you to believe the Word of God. Do I have it all right? No. But you know what is 100% right? The Word of God. And my job is to plant that into your mind so that you can become a Bible-believing saint of Almighty God. That you're not just making it up because of the doctrine of your church. You got it? Acts chapter 2, verse 44 and 45. And all that believed were together and had all things common. How did they do that? Verse 45. Sold their possessions and goods and parted them to all men as every man had need. And I took them to Acts chapter 4. Go to Jeremiah. Go to Jeremiah 17, verse 9. Now, I thought about this in the light of, and I'm a little bit torn, but when I see words that they mean, grace, it isn't always the dispensation of grace. You've got to try the Scriptures. You've got to see what they're talking about. You've got to go over and see what Peter's saying about it and what Paul's saying about it. Otherwise, you might get confused. Why? Verse 9. The heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked, who can know it? Now, hold it. He isn't talking about your physical heart. Your heart doesn't know. The heart that it's talking about is your subconscious mind in your brain, your emotional seat. See, all emotions, all everything you do comes out of that based upon what goes in. In fact, to get to the soul, then you have to play through three openings. And those are the emotions and thoughts and things. And then only one thing can get in here. Guess what can only get in there? The Word of God. Well, there were three levels of consciousness that they were trying to get to in this movie. Isn't that fascinating? Well, guess how many levels of consciousness you have? Three. And they're getting, when you watch TV, you're 100% being brainwashed.
That's
a fact. They're making you desire. We would have never walked around with stuff that said North Pole down here in Alabama. Oh, we wear North Pole because it's cool. Yeah, I wonder who wears some of that. And then that wasn't cool enough, so we came up with a South Pole. Brenda, you're stepping on some problems.
Wait a minute.
There's a few things that God did intend to wear. That's one of them.
You went from preaching to meddling.
Exactly. Look, that's why women weren't called to preach. You notice that? I'm just telling you that ahead of time. No, I mean, come on, guys. Are you listening to me? Everything is going into... We think we have to have a new car. You know why? They come out with a new design and they make us desire it. Ask Tony. When they come in to look at a used car, they want the upgrades on the new ones and the old one. Don't they? Well, this doesn't come with that. They may buy it because of the price point, but they're desiring because they've seen it over and over and over and over again.
And a new car has that smell that you can't get in an old car.
Yes, you can. You can get it at the car wash. I get it every time. I go, oh, I'm in a new car with 209,000 miles on it. Oh, it smells good to me. Hey, listen, guys, what am I trying to tell you? That what goes in, that heart that he's talking about in Jeremiah 17, isn't this heart, it's in the emotion of your brain. It's in the subconscious of your mind. And your mom and dad planted things there, and your family planted things there, and things you heard along the way were planted there. So when you hear grace sometimes, you just think, grace, you know. When it may not be the same grace you believe in. And you've got to learn to study it out. You know what? Brother Barry ain't always going to be around. You may outlive me. Wade, probably not. Tony, I'll kill him as I go down.
Everybody sings Amazing Grace.
Yeah, I mean, who doesn't sing Amazing Grace? And as they're singing Amazing Grace, they're telling you need to quit smoking, drinking, playing cards, and doing all this thing so you can get closer to God. I mean, just hypocrites. Hypocrisy. And Jesus found the same thing while he was walking on the planet. And that was the same exact problem he was having. And that's the same problem we're having today. Is people believe a lot about the Word of God. They just don't believe the Word of God rightly divided. You know why? It goes against everything they've... And it takes a little while to convince the old hearty that it's been deceived. When I read the verse, there is none good, no, not one. When Brother Moore read that verse the very first time, I can tell you what went through my mind. Well, I thought, he doesn't know my grandmother. That is the exact thought that went through my mind. I'm like, I took it to my dad and said, there ain't none good. And you know what he said? There ain't none good primarily. See how it works? And all of us were like that. And we just add in anything we want. Well, guess what Satan was doing at the beginning? Same thing, just adding. He's playing with words. Look at it in Genesis chapter 3. I mean, the whole thing is about playing with the word. It's amazing, isn't it? And you know what? Those words have been anchored into your subconscious mind by hearing them over and over and over again. I remember when Gene first came here. Now, you said, I think I understood your testimony, make sure I got this right, that you got saved about a year and a half after you got here. Somewhere about, approximately there. But she tried to convince me we believed the same thing all along the whole time. So what happened?
I learned right and divine.
See, that is the key that unlocks the knowledge of God. And then when you add legalism and all the other things that you add to it, you take away the key. And you're going to see that in just a minute. Go to Genesis chapter 3. Verse 1. Genesis 3, verse 1. Now the serpent was more subtle than any beast of the field which the Lord God had made. And he said unto the woman, yea, hath God said, ye shall not eat of every tree of the garden. Well, let's see what he said in verse 16 of chapter 2. And the Lord God commanded the man, saying, of every tree of the garden thou mayest freely eat. Sounds pretty close, doesn't it, to you? But the woman said unto the serpent, we may eat of the tree, the fruit of the trees of the garden, but of the tree of the garden which is in the midst of the garden, God has said, ye shall not eat of it, neither shall ye touch it, lest ye die. Now, what happened there? Satan just left off one complete thought, didn't he? Amen? He left off verse 17 completely. Just left it out. You know, that's how they do that. Have you ever noticed you go into a church and they read one little scripture and they tell you story after story after story? And I mean, I'm not kidding you. One Sunday we were meeting at the Free Will Baptist Church on Perry Hill Road. And Larry will tell you this is true. I came in and there was a book sitting in my pulpit with 10 sad stories. In fact, I think that was the title of it. 10 sad stories. So I thought one Sunday, Larry will tell you, man, I just started reading the story. And I just read it as it was written. There was hardly a dry eye in the whole place, was there? Everybody going... Oh, that's so sad. Even Larry went like this. I mean, it was sad. And well written to ring on your heart. See, whoever wrote that played on your emotions. So they get your emotions. And buddy, when you get that emotion, see, you think it's hitting your soul or the heart of your brain. Made design that way. 10 stories. Could have read one every week. People, but see, that's what Satan did. He just used one scripture and then left off the other part. So your subconscious didn't pick it up, but she heard that you did that. But you know what she did? She added to it. She added to it a little bit. He never said not to touch it. He said, the day you eat thereof, you shall surely die. But he didn't say anything about touching it. So that's how people change the Word of God. What my job is as a Bible teacher is to show you how to read your Bible and get you to read it right. And sometimes, guess what? I read it wrong. And the job is to make sure you get it right. Go to Nehemiah. a verse I use quite a bit on this kind of a subject, but it, I don't know what I'm doing over there. It's right by Ezra, Nehemiah 8. And see, my job is when I read Acts chapter 15 about grace, and then I show you the other comparison in 1 Peter chapter 1, you should be able to put those two together and say, ah, I see the difference. There's no way that Peter and Paul preach the same thing about grace, no matter how you did it, period. In Nehemiah 8, and this is what happened. Nehemiah 8:8. So they read in the book and the law of God distinctly and gave the sense and caused them to understand the reading. And Nehemiah, which is the threshold right, and Ezra the priest, the scribe, and the Levites taught the people and said unto all the people, this day is holy unto the Lord your God. Mourn not nor weep when for all the people what? Why did they weep? They understood it finally. They had gone away from God. They had finally realized, you know what, I'm not any good. We have abandoned our God. And when he came in, it was amazing to me that Herod the king tried to search diligently of the wise men when that time would come. Nobody could really tell him. So you know what he does? He kills all the kids from 0 to 2 just to make sure it's covered. Nobody could know. You know why? They had gotten so far away from the Word of God. People do that all the time. They just change the words. They change the thoughts. They try to make it sound like one gospel. Well, folks, if there's one gospel in this Bible, then I'm a jackrabbit. You understand? I ain't no jack. If you don't rightly divide, you're in trouble. And so that thing about grace really starts to come in from 1 Peter. I want to go Luke, I think, 11. I get this wrong every time. Yes, Luke 11. Maybe I'll get it this time. Yes. Does make good to darken in your verses. Verse 52. Luke 11, verse 52. Now, I haven't found anything I like about a lawyer. There are a few things I'd say bad about somebody, a lawyer, I don't feel uncomfortable at all. Tell that to your boss. I mean, you know what a crying shame is? When a bus full of lawyers go over with one empty seat. That would be a crying shame off the cliff. You know what I mean? That would be bad. Huh? But look what God said about it. You know, this isn't my opinion. You know, I can give you my opinion on it. Look at verse 52. Woe unto you, lawyers, for you have taken away the key of knowledge. Ye enter not in yourselves, and them that were entering in, ye hinder. Legalists. Legalists are stopping people from actually getting saved. You see, they come along and they preach, hey, you got to be good, you got to live the Ten Commandments. How many here believed at one point in their life, somewhere in their life, that the Ten Commandments had something to do with your salvation? Raise your hand. A lot of people in here. And I guarantee you that the people on the internet raising their hands too. We all thought that at some time. You know, the lawyers were trying to drive us away from the dispensation of grace where the law has been taken out of the way, nailed to the cross. You see, there is no law above you anymore. There's grace above you. It says you, hey, it's not by the works of the law, but by grace. And you can't have grace. It says, and if it's by grace, then it is no more of works. Otherwise, work is no more work. On and on. I mean, you just go on and on. So we get back to those passages, and if you don't take 1 Peter at to what it says, go back to 1 Peter now about that grace, then you start to understand what he was saying a little bit in Acts chapter 15. But we're going to go a little deeper in just a second. time permits. How are we doing on time? Yeah. I knew there was something I forgot. I wanted to go over to car stereo so I could put my iPhone into my stereo system on my trip. Don't laugh at me. That's important when you're in the car for 14 hours. I sing every, you know the problem with the radio? They only play you the songs they want you to hear. Yeah, but it's like so low when your motor's going, na-na-na-na-na-na. Na-na-na-na-na-na. You know, my motor's roaring when it's going down the road. What, your motor doesn't sound like that when it's cranked up?
They have car stereos all over the nation, sir. So
All right. Well, there's preaching on there, too. I mean, I've got some good stuff. I've got weight on here. I mean, how about doing a little weight on your way to Texas? That'll make you motivate to preach. You know what I mean? Say, man, brother, that I have to fire up. They may want him more than me. All right, y'all in 1 Peter? So 1 Peter, now watch this. Verse 10. Of which salvation the prophets have inquired. Well, your salvation was before the foundation of the world. It isn't the same salvation. So the gospel that Peter's preaching couldn't be the same gospel you're believing. So the grace isn't exactly the same. See, the problem is they don't know where the middle wall of petition. Over here, Jews only. You got it? Then Peter preaches Jews, and then later, Gentiles. You got it so far? Now watch this. Paul starts preaching in Gentile. And after Acts chapter 28, Gentiles only. You got it? That's how it worked. That's how it worked. If you don't believe that, look at a couple passages. Take Titus chapter 3 and what he said to Cornelius. Now remember, that was the reference that he was making in Acts chapter 15. Amen? Go to Titus chapter 3 and Acts chapter 10. Titus chapter 3 and remember that the reference that he was making in 1st. Y'all haven't left that in your mind, Acts 15, right? You haven't left that. That's what we're talking about. I know I went around roundabout way to get to it, but I wanted you to understand how the mind works and how the deception works and how you got to say, you know, really what it is all about is when you say, whoa, stop it. I'm going to believe every word in this Bible. I know that not every word is written to me, but I'm going to believe every word. And I've got to find out where these words fit and who they're being spoken by. That's the object. And really hard, we all have the same job. Will we all get it perfectly? I got to talk to Mike tonight on the phone, Mike McGathery from Wisconsin. And he wants to come down and see the Kentucky class. And so, Mike, if you're watching, we'd love to have you. Mike works with Ricky Jordan and all that. And he sees the two mystery, the temple mystery in Acts chapter 17 when he goes and he sent far hence onto the Gentiles and then in Acts chapter 20 he's arrested, you know, and all that rigmarole, and that the grace of God opens the appearing to all men, the gospel goes to all men. Well, Ricky doesn't see that. Now, I'm not saying you have to see that, but you have to believe what God wrote. You don't have to believe what I say. You have to believe what God wrote. And you have to be convinced. And you've got to understand that there's a lot of stuff in your mind that's trying not for you to believe it. A lot of stuff. A lot of stuff. I sat down and showed a Baptist preacher, an independent Baptist preacher, had a church of over 650 people in Houston. Big old church. I mean, he took me to the church. I was like, you know, and here I am teaching them. That was so funny. But every Wednesday we'd go to breakfast and we'd spend about 4 hours in the Bible. Got done in a year and he says, I've got it. He wasn't even saved. He was not even saved at the beginning. He said, you know what, when we started this, I was lost, but I see it now. He said, but if I preach what you've told me to preach, I'll lose the church. He brought his assistant pastor toward the end. I mean, it was like serious. I mean, we were digging in the book. Just like we've been doing up in, the Bible class happens, and then for 2 hours after the Bible class, we have another Bible class. And them asking questions. Well, that's how this was. And I thought to myself, you know, something in his mind won't let him preach this. And something was buried in his subconscious mind, and what was buried there, he brought up. I will lose my church if I preach this. And I said, brother, you lose all your rewards. If you know it and don't preach it, you're in trouble. Because he would lose his... come on. I mean, these guys make $100,000 a year in these big churches. And yes.
I know a lot of preachers that way.
See? Frank Lowry. Do you all know Frank? Frank has talked to many Baptist preachers. And they'll see the truth, but they won't preach it because of the cost it will cost them. And there's a cost. You see, all that live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution. You see Frazier getting any persecution? What are they? They're lifted up. Name a church. You're going to that church over there. They're King James Church. That one over there. They don't have many people either. That isn't about all that. You know, the hardest thing for me in 23 years, I would love this church to grow. I mean, I bet I could market it and get it up. But wouldn't that be terrible if I have to manipulate to get people here versus we getting out and witnessing to people about the truth? Just use all the gimmicks. You know, the same thing the advertisers use. We can do it. Christmas cantatas. Easter. We could have an asphalt egg hunt in our yard. We can do all that. And be like every other church and draw them in. Except the job here is to make sure that people understand the difference and to know the facts about the Word of God. I mean, I didn't learn this in any Sunday school. Look in Titus chapter 3. All there?
A little leaven. Yeah.
A little leaven leaveneth the whole lump. So where do you stop? And so it's up to your job to get this stuff down and go show your friends. If you can't show them, invite me. I'll go. I know it. Miss West, you can invite me over. I'll go talk to your friends. Okay? You know Brother Barry loves you, don't you? She always IMs me on Facebook. So sweet. Titus chapter 3, verse 5. Now watch this. Not by works of righteousness which we've done, but according to His mercy He saved us. By the washing and regeneration and the renewing of the Holy Ghost. Not by works of righteousness. Go to Acts chapter 10. You may want to write this in your Bible. I'd put Acts chapter 10 if you don't have it. Verse 34 and 35. Acts 10, 34, 35. Watch this. 35 is really it, but I'm going to read 34. Then Peter opened his mouth in Acts chapter 10. Of a truth I perceive that God is no respecter of person. But in every nation, he that feareth Him, feareth who? Feareth God. And worketh righteousness is accepted. What happens if you don't work righteousness? Well, Paul just said, not by works of righteousness in Titus chapter 3, verse 5. How can you do both of those things while believing they're preaching the same gospel? You can't do it, guys. Not only that, remember that little message that the prophets talked about? You got it? Remember that in 1 Peter? Well, look in Deuteronomy 6. If you have any problems finding Deuteronomy, it's the fifth book in the Bible. Deuteronomy 6. Look who's saying that exact phrase. Verse 24. Does this not sound like the prophets? Well, Paul didn't sound like the prophets. And the Lord commanded us. Verse 24, y'all there? Guys, want your Bible pens out here. And the Lord commanded us to do all these statutes to fear the Lord our God for our good always. Well, where did He say fear the Lord? Acts chapter 10, verse 35, I would write that in there. That He might preserve us alive as it is this day, and it shall be our righteousness if we observe to do all these commandments. Well, that's fear God and work righteousness. That's exactly what Peter's preaching in Acts chapter 10 to Cornelius. So he's not preaching the same grace that Paul is preaching to you. Not bad, huh? That's pretty good stuff. You could put that in your pipe and smoke it tonight. Listen, let me tell you what. I could go on and on with many, many doctrines that were laid out just like that. Remember that what... Go back to 1 Peter. Of which salvation the prophets have inquired and searched diligently, who prophesied of the grace that should come unto you. Well, that's Deuteronomy 6, 24 and 25 and Acts 10, 35. That's what he preached. Amen? I mean, make no mistake, it was according to a prophecy. But go back to Paul. Go to 1 Corinthians, or Romans 16 would be fine. And we'll end here tonight. I am so glad you came. I hope it was a blessing to you. You know, I mean, I tell you guys, listen, let me tell you what. I want to reiterate your five senses in just a minute. Now to Him that has the power to establish you, verse 25, according to My gospel and the preaching of Jesus Christ, according to the revelation of the mystery, which was kept secret since the world began. No way is Peter and Paul talking about the same grace in Acts chapter 15 at all. You got it? Somebody may say that and say, but no. Let me show you. And you know what brings about conviction? It isn't you. It isn't the dynamic of the preacher. It isn't how articulate it is. I hear people say, boy, he is a really dynamic preacher. Well, what does that mean? I know some dynamic preachers that are just wrong. Do you realize that Billy Graham, and I know this might be touchy soil, Jerry went to a meeting with Billy Graham, Jerry Lockhart, down in Mobile, back in the late 60s, early 70s, I guess it was. And the pre-meeting said, look, at the pre-meeting they said this, we need some people to get up and lead people down. And if enough people will get up, the ones that are tugging will feel it and walk down too, and we'll have a big old crowd down there. So they had 200 people implanted in the crowd to get them to walk down. And this is it at every deal that Billy Graham did. And so he'd preach. And when he got to a certain part, a few get up. Get to another part, a few more get up. And they start playing the sad music and the emotional. Why? Because our subconscious is triggered by what? What we hear, what we see, what we touch, what we smell, and on and on. And so they start singing, just as I am without one thing. I mean, boy, and they get those people coming down, and the next thing you know, the herd comes. You know what the Bible says? For by grace are you saved through faith, that not of yourselves, it's the gift of God. Now, you got to ask yourself, why did all them people have to come down to the front? But then Billy Graham looks to the camera and he says, you at home, right where you're sitting, can receive the Lord. How is that? That was a game. And he was good at it. And I'm not saying people didn't get saved. I'm just telling you that a majority of those people are probably lost believers. There's a Christian song came out and says, I walked the aisle to Billy Graham. I did all that and found out I was lost and I finally got saved. I forgot the name of the song, but it was so funny. They don't play it hardly anymore. I guess not. But he was a lost believer in the song. Had a guy, FFH, Far From Home, to a concert up in Prattville we went to. So I was 19 and my father-in-law got me alone in the car and I'd been Mr. Joe Christian. And he started asking me questions I couldn't answer. said, I realized I was lost, believing that Jesus Christ died for my sins, was buried, and then he rose again. Something triggered in his, deep down in his subconscious. Words that he used. So you have to choose your words carefully. That you do. And you don't need to tell people how bright you are. Most of them realize you're not very bright at all. And you might be a better speaker, but Brother Moore said this. He says, you might be able to preach the gospel better than me, but you can't preach a better gospel than me. You got it? And guys, listen, let me tell you what. Everything that goes into your ears every day is polluting your mind. And the only thing, listen to me very carefully, this is so important. Look around the room. Nothing you see is real. Look around the room. None of this is real. It's all temporal. It's all going to dissolve. This is not the world. People think this is the world and they get steadfast in the world, but this isn't the world. Abraham said, why, if I've been mindful of the city, why would I, you know, live in tents all, you know? I mean, he lived in tents. He was waiting for that city to come down. One day there's going to be a shout, the voice of the archangel, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. And we are going to go to our eternal home, and the things which are not seen are eternal. And the only portal that you can even see that is by hearing and seeing and effectively speaking it is the Word of God, the King James Bible. It is the only thing that is real. When it's all dissolved, all that will matter will be those words on that pages that you have. You got it? I would study hard. I wouldn't dilly-dally on the internet just to search, and I'd spend a little time watching Alabama football, but not all the time. Because it's time to memorize scriptures and think about them and do them. And let me tell you what, it will change your life. Because that's what you got to get in you. The more verses you have, the more freedom you'll have. All right, I'm done.